Good morning, good afternoon, colleagues. Welcome back to the office. Welcome to episode 10 of the CPE Today podcast. It is a pleasure being with you today, and I'm excited to present and teach our course, Are You Really Ready? Effective Disaster Recovery and Business Continuity Planning, Part 1. Today's class is going to be looking at all the different types of things that we should be considering in our business planning and disaster recovery operations, in the sense of, hey, I mean, things happen. Floods occur, fires occur, data breaches can occur. There's a lot of different things that could occur. What are they? What type of things should we be concerned with? And more importantly, what kind of preventative measures can we put in place so that when these type of disasters do occur, our business stays intact, that we continue to operate. People, property, plant, equipment, all of those things are safe and secure. And so over the course of several videos, we're going to be talking about different aspects of disaster recovery and business continuity operations. The stuff that you should be thinking about today before that disaster actually occurs. Now, for our presentation for today, we're specifically going to be, A, looking at kind of the macro things around disaster recovery and business continuity that we should be considering and thinking about. So we're going to define what these concepts are, what they occur, and the types of things that we should be considering and the factors that go into each one of these. And in future broadcasts, we're going to dive into each one of these topics specifically. Disaster recovery and business continuity, while interdependent on each other, are actually different things. Typically, you'll plan them both at the same time, but we're going to spend a full episode on each one of these topics and specifically looking at the procedures and plans that we should take for each one of them. But today, we're going to quantify some of the big macro aspects of both of these topics, and then we're going to talk about all the horrible things that might occur inside your business that you should at least be considering and thinking about. We'll finish our presentation with a discussion of just four of my best practices with respect to technology security, because so much of business today involves ensuring that we have good technology procedures in place. So we're going to give you my best recommendations that I think you should consider with respect to your disaster recovery and ensuring that your technology is properly safe and secure. So maybe you can at least hopefully hold off on a tech disaster for the short term. Now, I do want to remind you that if you are a financial professional, and I hope you are, that today's podcast is eligible for CPE credit. Yes, you, that CPA or that enrolled agent or CFP or other type of financial professional, you can earn a credit for listening to today's podcast. Head on over to cpetoday.com. Use course code DRB1. Again, that is cpetoday.com. DRB1 is your course code. Take a quick short 5-question exam. You'll instantly earn a certificate for your participation and in completing the exam. And you will be one credit closer to earning your license for the following renewal period. So if you are subject to continuing education, how cool is it you can listen to a podcast and earn credits for just listening? Alrighty. So in our first section for today, we're going to focus on just defining what business continuity is in disaster recovery. Let's try to understand at a basic level and a preliminary level what these topics are and the importance to the organization. Then we're going to go ahead and take a look at the types of costs that are associated with the disaster. I mean, we always tend to, for example, focus only on the monetary loss of something. But that's not the whole story. There's a societal impact. There's an environmental impact. There are other things that should be considered that might result in some sort of failure inside your organization. So what are they and why should we be planning for those and trying to mitigate those costs? And then we're going to talk about the major components of a business continuity plan. It's not just a one thing. It's not a one sheet type of approach. It's actually several different factors that go into it. Okay, so first, what is disaster recovery? What is business continuity? Now, as I kind of mentioned when we were getting started with this, they are interdependent on each other. They're related concepts, but they do address some different things. Disaster recovery focuses on the immediacy after a disaster occurs. And it's really focused on ensuring that operations can resume in a timely manner after an unplanned disaster. So it's focusing on, for example, restoration from a backup. You know, hopefully you're using some sort of backup service. Maybe, for example, you're using Amazon Web Services and their fantastic S3 platform, and a disaster occurs with the server. Well, how quickly can we restore those files from that S3 back to a production status where we can now resume operations inside of our organization? We can resume processing orders. We can resume our staff working in our books and records and things of this nature. Or if it's, for example, a flood, and, you know, a flood occurs, and how quickly can we open up our storefront? Maybe it's, you know, reopening in the parking lot with a tent for the foreseeable future until the building can be fixed or we can find another facility. But disaster recovery focuses really kind of on the first 24 to 72 hours after a disaster occurs. And it's really kind of focused on bringing operations back to the status quo as quickly as we can, and ensuring that people, property, plant are all safe and maintained. Now, business continuity, on the other hand, is kind of the big picture. Okay, business continuity pulls back the lens a little bit, and it says, you know what, when a disaster occurs, there's the immediacy of wanting to get back to work, but there's always kind of some of these bigger things that occur when a disaster that can absolutely submarine a business. Okay. And these things, for example, could be interruptions to the supply chain. It could be a vendor goes out of business. It could be that our customers, as much as we want to do work with them, they can't do work with us. Maybe the roads are blocked. Maybe the internet service provider is down and they can't connect. Well, all of these things can cause issues with respect to maintaining operations in the long run. So business continuity takes a look at the big picture of all of this. It focuses on long-term recoverability, long-term survivability of an organization, regardless of what actually occurred itself. The disaster is a point in time. We will move beyond this. And it's all about putting the right policies, procedures, people, teams in place to ensure that that business can come together and can survive that particular interruption of whatever that might be. And so when we talk about business continuity planning, we're talking about everything from having redundancy in the supply chain. So having other companies maybe service our raw materials and sell us those particular items. We're talking about maybe, for example, having hot and cold sites for a disaster. You know, if where we were working is completely destroyed and gone, well, maybe we have a site kind of in the back of our mind that we've already maybe even put a little bit of effort into having ready to go in the event of a disaster occurs. You know, so again, if it's something like a flood, well, we have another facility maybe a couple towns over at a higher piece of elevation that we can relocate our operations to. Or if it's something like a redundancy in our data centers, you know, Amazon Web Services, as many of our longtime listeners would know, is my personal preference with respect to data center operations. If you were going to move to the cloud, that would be my best and highest recommendation, generally speaking. Well, you know, one of the best things about AWS is that you can pick where your technology is going to go. You could pick, for example, I want to be in the North Virginia data center. I want to be in the Oregon data center. Well, we can design things in what we call high availability, or HA. You know, so in the event that something happens in the North Virginia data center, well, not a problem. In the flick of a switch, I can move everything over to Oregon and we can resume operations very quickly. But business continuity looks at all the potential issues that could occur and we plan for them. We plan to ensure that the business will continue operations long beyond whatever that particular disaster occurs. So to really kind of drill it home, at least in my definition of these particular terms, disaster recovery focuses on the immediacy after disaster occurs, that first 24 to 72 hours. It focuses on ensuring people are safe. It ensures that the property plant and the of the organization are safe as well, and that we resume operations as quick as we can. Business continuity, on the other hand, bigger picture. It's about staying in business. A business continuity plan will typically last a year or longer, depending on the nature of the disaster that occurred. And it addresses a lot of other things, marketing, sales, customers, logistics, that maybe that disaster recovery plan it's not that it wouldn't address those things. It would typically take a much shorter approach. Now, you can activate a disaster recovery plan, but you might not always activate a business continuity plan. It just depends on the nature of whatever disaster occurred. And we're going to talk through a lot of different types of disasters here in a minute. So some of these you'll see, hey, you know, maybe that's just a short term, you know, one time type thing, a freak incident. Well, versus a business continuity incident could be a much bigger type of issue that pops up inside of the organization. Now, disasters always enact a cost. I'm reminded of the phrase, there is no such thing as a free lunch. Somebody is always paying. It could either be a direct cost or it could be an indirect cost. And that direct cost, there are a variety that can be incurred directly on that organization. You know, first and foremost, starting with revenue. Okay. You know, we tend to immediately jump to money, and that's not always a bad thing with respect to thinking. I mean, we all know what money is. So that's a relationship we all have in some capacity with our organizations. It always has to come back to money. And so we can incur a direct financial loss. There could also be other things besides just losing revenue. I mean, we could be subject to fines and penalties, compensatory payment, as well as future revenues could be lost as well. Now, we are increasingly living in a more compliance-driven world. There are more compliance frameworks today in 2021 than there were last year, and certainly there'll be more in coming years. And increasingly, depending on the nature of the disaster, they will involve some sort of technology. Okay. One of the most common of which is going to be a data, not a data center, it could involve a data center, but will be a data breach. Well, depending on the nature of your business, depending on the nature of the data that is coming, that data breach could be penalties from different regulations and regulatory bodies that you might be subject to. You know, let's say, for example, you're a hospital or you're a dentist chiropractor. Well, what's one compliance standard that they all have in common? HIPAA. Okay. The HIPAA is one of the most complex privacy standards that are out there, and it has some big teeth with respect to providers that have a data breach. You know, whether it is intentional, like willful negligence, or unintentional, just a freak incident, you could be subject to fines and fees that come as a result of patient data being lost. And so absolutely, there could be some sort of loss to you, as well as on that, fines and penalties that might come, or negligence, or just, you know, not having the proper technology and security in place. So with respect to productivity, okay, you know, imagine you've got a flood. Imagine that your staff essentially longer has an office to work with. Imagine you've got a computer virus with respect to malware that has essentially wiped out your company's ability to be able to work. I mean, what does that mean, for example, just to have staff, you know, kind of sitting around and waiting for, you know, essentially waiting for work to be able to resume. Payroll is often one of the most significant costs that we have in an organization, and having a manufacturing line that is essentially stalled, or having a, you know, for example, having a bunch of office workers and not being able to process orders. I mean, that could be really difficult with respect to dealing with that inside of our organization. That could be very expensive. I mean, it's a soft cost in the sense that it's not necessarily gone revenue, you know, but that productivity loss can be extremely detrimental to the organization as well. And it could also kill morale, which is another thing to consider as well. Okay. Something we should be considering, safety. You know, I think this is, in my opinion, when I think of disaster planning inside of our organization, it is probably the first thing that comes to mind. Are our people in physical danger? You know, and the cost of having somebody get injured due to a company forcing them to work, or providing an unsafe work environment can be extremely detrimental to the organization. So we need to think about what that means to keep people safe in the workplace that they are operating on. We have damaged reputation. Again, this isn't a tangible cost. This is an intangible one. But what does it mean to have our customers lose faith? What does it mean to have our competitors gain ground? What does it mean to have negative things and nasty things written about us in publications? Well, that's something that can occur. And so with respect to this, you know, we need to, for example, have some different marketing and information available to us to kind of control the narrative, if you will. You know, if we look at, for example, a lot in politics, if we look at, for example, a lot in big business, I mean, they often will have different people solely focused on mitigating risk and mitigating bad press when that occurs, because ultimately we want to be able to maintain operations. We want our customers to still want to work with us, and we certainly want to keep our competitors at bay. And so that damaged reputation, it's hard to quantify, but it is a significant reputation hit if a, for example, data breach occurs, or if there is a scandal inside of our organization, or a key executive does something that maybe they're not supposed to do, or fraud, or something like that. So at least planning for something like that can be very helpful in the event that that does occur. Okay. We have governance and performance issues. What does it mean to have an impact to our cash flow, our credit rating, a decrease in our stock price? There have been plenty of examples of organizations that none of the fundamentals changed of their business in terms of they still have customers, they still make great products. But again, negative things come out on the press, they have some sort of scandal that comes inside of it. Well, and then all of a sudden they've got an immediate and short-term cash flow issue, or something occurs and it decreases their creditworthiness and people start shorting their stock. Well, that can cause a lot of issues. You know, if we look at, you know, organizations that have large scale environmental problems or issues with personnel inside their companies, well, these kind of short term hits can cause long term issues with the company. We also have environmental. You know, I'm a big fan of the triple bottom line thinking inside of business. You got your financial impact, you've got your societal impact, and you've got your environmental impact. And I think it's important that organizations consider the environment risk that they have on the surrounding area. You know, what does it mean, for example, to have a, let's say you're in chemical manufacturing, and I'm thinking of the Bhopal disaster of the 80s and many, many since then, for example, the Exxon Valdez up in Alaska, or even more recently, the Deepwater Horizon off the Gulf Coast of Mexico. I mean, you can kill millions of animals, depending on the nature of the disaster, a large-scale chemical breach for something like that, and contaminate the world for decades and sometimes millions of years. If we think of, for example, you know, what happened in Chernobyl. So I think it's important that we consider, you know, the environmental impact of what we're doing too, because we all got to live on this blue marble spinning around the sun for the foreseeable future. So as we start to think about the disasters that could occur, I think putting in the mitigating things with respect to cleanup and putting in the right safety things right from the get-go are going to help minimize any of these risks inside of the organization. Okay. I'm reminded by the phrase I've heard it several times with different clients. It always seems that we never have the money to do it right the first time, but we always seem to have the money to do it right the second time around. Okay. Disaster planning is getting it right the first time. If you plan it correctly today, if and when these risks ever materialize, hopefully they will not sink your business. Now, for disaster recovery, I really think it takes the whole team in terms of making this work. I think your whole team needs to be in the same canoe, paddling in the same direction. You all need to work together. You need to have clear direction. The tone at the top is really, really important. And ideally, you will have already had a written plan prior to the disaster. Okay. What you don't want to see happen is you don't want to be making it up as you go. You cannot wing these things. Okay. You really need to have and have thought about critically the different types of risks that occur in your organization and have some prepared frameworks ready to go that you can just activate when these type of risks occur. Now, technology is certainly going to help in this. Technology allows us to move quickly. It allows us to work distributed. However, surviving a disaster is more than just restoring a backup. It could be dealing with the press. It could be dealing with your customers. It could be working out and figuring out supply chain issues. If you don't think the Amazons, the Microsofts, the Googles, the Exxons, the Walmarts of the world don't spend serious time thinking about what kind of disasters could occur, everything from a truck, you know, causing a massive pileup on a freeway, or a train derailment, or a supplier that contaminated the supply chain or something like that, you're wrong. there are executives in all of these companies that agonize over these particular items. And because they agonize over it, that's one of the big reasons why they're so big, is because it's not that bad things don't happen to them. They do happen to them, but they respond effectively. Now, this is just my methodology in terms of thinking about where the effort would come from a disaster recovery inside of an organization. So I was trying to think of, you know, quantify some of the major departments inside of a business, and by no means is this exhaustive, but I wanted to kind of quantify where some of the major efforts inside of a business would arise into maintaining operations after a disaster. And so I think it's kind of evenly split between good management techniques and having proper direction at the top. I think having good technology in place that allows you to be able to scale up and scale down or move data and computing power at a moment's notice, having those things in place before you need them are great. I think, for example, the sales team, in terms of mitigating risk with respect to our clients and our vendors, and reaching out and having those good conversations and relationships ahead of time. I also think the accounting team is a fair component of this, especially if we look at financial risk, which is increasingly becoming more common. Things like fraud and misappropriation, embezzlement, all of those are real risks, and the accounting team are those who need to contain it. Likewise, having good operations team, good supply chain management inside your organization are a good thing that you're going to want to have ahead of time. And you can't make this stuff up after you go. Now, business continuity is a life cycle, and there are some key components of this. And we're going to dive deeper into these topics throughout this series of podcasts that we're going to go ahead and do here. But I've got some major components that I think you should kind of think about, that you should have in place. I've got a document here that I'll show you in a second, kind of illustrating that it's a never-ending process. But first and foremost, what I think you need to do is first think critically about your organizations, and you need to identify different risks that are relevant to what you do. You know, let's use my company, for example, Devmatics. We're a software development firm. We make all sorts of cool things, from mobile apps to enterprise software, solving all different types of real problems for lots of different organizations. Well, we have certain risks, mostly around professional liability, you know, whether or not we code something correctly or it works correctly as expected. You know, I don't need to necessarily worry about us making something and causing, you know, a Deepwater Horizon's chemical size spill, because that's outside the scope of what we do. You know, but if you're a BP, if you're an Exxon, if you're something like that, that's absolutely something you need to consider. So first and foremost, identify risks that are relevant to your organization. Okay. Then I want you to analyze those importance and the impact to the organization. Okay. Now, not every risk is going to be a big risk. Some things are immaterial. Some things will have a big impact, but not cause a necessarily large financial loss. And other things could be quite small, but could have a huge impact to the bottom line of the company. So you ideally want to be able to put in internal controls to manage these things where you get risk to an appropriate level. Okay. Now, from there, I want you to design some controls and find those mitigating factors. It could be, for example, hedging your bet with an insurance policy. In the context of Devmatics, we're fully insured. I mean, that was something that we really took an active effort, and we've gotten all the necessary types of insurance that will help provide stability to our operations in the event that we are sued or we do something that maybe a client didn't expect. Okay, we've got those different things in place, and that's a hedge. So it helps mitigate, but it also provides security to the client too, in the sense that they know that, hey, you know, you are insured, and that if something does happen, I have some way of getting reimbursed for whatever damages that might occur. It's the same reason why, if you're working with a tradesman, like a general contractor or a plumber, that's why they have a bond. You know, they have a bond in the event that something gets screwed up, that you have some money on the line that essentially that you can go after in the event that that occurs. Okay. Once you've designed your controls, once you've figured out your mitigating factors, you implement those, you build in policy inside the organization. Ideally, as the organization grows, it needs to become more rigid with respect to its internal controls and policies. It can't be loosey-goosey. You got to be a rigid organization in some respects and in some ways, because that rigidness provides structure and it provides foundation that allows you to build other things on top of it that can provide security to the organization. You also need to measure this. Okay. Ideally, as you're building and identifying the different risks, you've quantified this. Okay. Don't shoot from the hip. Okay. You want to identify, meticulously plan this out, and then measure your performance and make changes as needed. And if we really kind of look at the business continuity planning cycle, it's a never-ending circle. Something happens, and then we go respond to this, and then we figure it out if it worked or not. If not, we adjust it, and then we start it all over again. And I would tell you, at least once per year, or more frequently if the business has significant changes, you should reevaluate this and ensure that your plans meet your current operations. Okay, it's very important that you just don't put this onto a shelf. It is a living document that you've essentially designed here. And from that living document, you make all the necessary changes to ensure that that document meets your current operations. A business continuity plan from 5 years ago is not going to help you, because think about how much has changed in your business just in the last 5 years. There might be some aspects that are relevant, but I guarantee you not all the staff listed inside of that plan are going to be there. And maybe you're not even in a particular line of business anymore. Ensuring that the plan meets current criteria and current operations is essential. Now, there are some key qualities of a business continuity plan that I think you should consider. First and foremost, they should cover the entirety of your business operations, in the sense of, you know, it should cover all the different revenue and cost and payroll centers that you have inside your organization. Don't just cherry pick the stuff that you like. Focus on the entire business. Okay. Make sure it's got some meat on its bones. Make sure it can be effective. If you, for example, just have two lines about a data breach inside your organization, like we'll deal with it when it occurs, or we'll restore from a backup, that's not effective. Okay. Put some thought and care and consideration. Make it worth your time. It's something you hope to never have to use, but if you do use it, make sure it has been worth the effort. Make sure it's got some meat on the bones. Okay. Make sure it's based in fact on current operation, has realistic expectations. Okay. So don't make assumptions about your business that aren't realistic in terms of where you are. I mean, don't account for business that you don't have. Don't account for extra costs that you might not have incurred. Don't account for things that are not based in reality. So think about your business critically. A phrase I like to think about is, you want to be the guy sitting across the street looking at the business and making decisions realistically about what that business is today. Ensure that your plan can be implemented in a timely manner, okay? If your plan, for example, is a three-year approach, well, you'll be long out of business before that plan can be effective. So you want to ensure that, for example, the disaster recovery plan is something that actually can be implemented within a day, you know, as quickly as possible. And if it's something like, you know, I'm thinking, for example, of a snowstorm. I mean, if you're making the assumption that equipment is going to come from the other side of the mountain, well, that's not realistic, and it might not be able to be implemented in a timely manner. So you have to think about the resources, the staff, the people, and ensure that they can be there as quick as possible in the event of a disaster recovery plan. Make sure it can be implemented with your existing staff and resources. You know, in the event of a flood or a hurricane or a tornado, you need to have these things already worked out and these people already in place. You can't just assume you're going to be able to go down to the local employment center and find staff to clean up your office. That might not occur. You know, you need to have existing resources already planned out for this. You should prioritize the health and safety, then maintain organizational objectives, okay? People are the most important things inside the organization, ensuring that they are safe. Then you work on bringing the business back online. Make sure your staff are safe. That is just my personal opinion on prioritization. I really feel that we always need to put people first. All right, let's go ahead and have our first review question here. Okay, the response time frame for disaster recovery is focused on what time period? Is it the first 24 to 72 hours? Is it the first 6 weeks, the first 6 months, or the first year? And you guessed it, disaster recovery is immediate. It is focused on that first 24 to 72 hours, okay? So that's what we're really focusing on here, is that short term, making sure people are safe, making sure the building is safe, making sure the equipment is safe, and then maintaining business operations from there. And we're really focused on bringing it back to where it was before the disaster as quick as we can. The faster we can get back into a positive position, the higher likelihood we will remain in business in the long run. Okay, in our next section of the course, we're really going to focus on the different types of disasters that occur, okay? So we're going to talk about the different categories of disasters. Then we're going to talk about some of the impact that these disasters could have. Now, the intention is to help you kind of think big picture and help you to kind of identify the different types of risks that might occur that you might be subject to. Not every type of natural disaster is going to be something you need to think about. You know, for example, here in the state of California, our biggest natural disaster is probably, I'm going to say an earthquake, you know, or if you live along the coast, maybe a tsunami, you know, or a forest fire for that matter, where I live, you know, things like a hurricane aren't realistic. And it's not necessarily that we shouldn't at least think about them. We should consider them, but it may or may not be something that fits into our plan. Okay. So I'm going to try to give you a whole bunch of different things that you should be thinking about. And I'm going to try to give you different ways as we're talking through these of different things that you could do to help mitigate that risk. Now, I do want to remind you, if you are a financial professional, you can earn a credit for listening to today's broadcast. Head on over to cpetoday.com and use course code DRB1. Again, that is cpetoday.com. Use course code DRB1. Take a short 5-question exam and earn a credit, and you will be on your way to maintaining your license going forward. Now, disasters can occur in all shapes and sizes. They could be weather, they could be economic, technology, people, infrastructure. Unfortunately, more and more we need to think about terrorism. It's horrible. I'm sorry that we are in this position as a world, but it is where we are at the moment. So we need to consider that as well. All the way down to simple stuff like mistakes and errors. There have been plenty of examples of data breaches and malfeasance that kind of started as just a simple mistake or an error, and that turned and snowballed into something much bigger. Now, in terms of our natural disasters, our greatest hits are things such as fire, floods, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, you know, but increasingly we've got other things that we should be considering. Unfortunately, climate change has really adjusted the environment over the last several decades, and there are new threats that are things that we need to consider. You know, for example, global warming, whether or not you believe in it, I hope you can at least understand that sea levels are rising. If you're in parts of, for example, Louisiana, I mean, there are swaths of coastline that were there 5 years ago that are no longer there. We have whole towns in some instances of the lowlands of Louisiana completely gone. You know, and significantly, you know, have been now underwater and probably increasingly so. That is something that we should consider. I mean, if you've got your data center, for example, in New Orleans, you know, a town that is below sea level, well, that might not be something you might want to do in the long term. You might want to consider something different. We also have, for example, impact for increasing fires. Unfortunately, as we've seen larger and larger fires that have taken place out west, from San Diego all the way up to British Columbia, and those fires are having a huge impact on supply chain. You know, for example, getting a truck up and over the Sierra Nevadas to Nevada over 80 is sometimes not possible due to fires which can occur. So these kind of changes in our environment are also things that we should consider, because it can change the way that we work. Now, we've also, and I'd be remiss if we weren't talking about and at least mentioning the impact of pandemics. You know, in 2020, we saw the introduction of COVID-19, probably the biggest, most significant thing to occur in my lifetime in terms of the largest crisis. You know, other ones that come to mind, for example, are like September 11th, which certainly had a huge impact on the world. Well, COVID-19, I would say, is more, had a significant, a larger, more significant impact on business operations than even September 11th. you know, in a lot of different ways. And it's not meant to diminish the impact of that other crisis, but this one certainly was felt by a much larger audience worldwide. And as such, I mean, it's caused a massive economic, workplace, health, safety crisis worldwide. You know, well over a 500,000 people here in the United States have died of COVID, you know, and it's also caused large sectors of our economy to really kind of go underwater. You know, for example, if you're in anything involving live events, or even things like hospitality, I mean, unfortunately, you have been massively impacted by COVID. And if your company is kind of in those spaces, well, I mean, unfortunately, there's a good chance that it will cause significant declines to your long-term operations. You know, if you have a business continuity plan, and a lot of people did, pandemic was probably not part of it, you know? So it's something that I think we're, for example, going to have to consider going forward. And at the very minimum, thinking about, for example, how something like this can impact the world supply chain, transportation network, financial markets, and kind of understanding where this could occur. Now, beyond the actual impact of COVID, let's think about what this looks like in the workplace with our actual staff. Okay. COVID changed the way of how and where we are working. You know, if we are in person, they've recommended now a minimum of 6 feet of social distancing. They've also put, for example, and depending on where you live, limitations of how many people can get together in one single location. And for a lot of businesses, I mean, they had to close down completely. You know, they had to literally close their office and send people home. Well, if your business didn't have any technology to allow for telecommuting and remote work, I mean, that was a real impact to the business. And a lot of companies were kind of stranded and didn't know exactly what to do. You know, so if you, for example, had put into your business continuity plan the flexibility to allow staff to be able to work from home, well, guess what? You're able to respond to this much quicker and much faster than organizations where it was extremely dependent that they be in that physical space, that physical office. And so we've got, due to COVID, this whole new rise of remote workers. And for businesses that embraced this and just realized that, hey, you know what? We don't know when we're going to be able to get back into the office together. You know what? They're the ones that have not only survived, but probably thrived. And I think no matter what, I think this type of remote work is a good thing from a business continuity perspective. It's great when staff can get together, but if they can work from home, guess what? I've now made the world my office. I can work anywhere. And if we have staff spread out over a larger geography, we've isolated the risk that, you know, a fire could wipe out the business because everybody is in one physical geographic space. Now we're all spread across. And if we move our technology up to data centers, up to services like Azure or Amazon Web Services, well, guess what? Now, even our technology infrastructure has that resilience and that flexibility to be able to be deployed worldwide to wherever our staff happens to be. Now, at the time of this recording, another good example of a natural disaster that has had a huge impact is the Texas power crisis. At the time of this recording, which is in February of 2021, there were two massive severe winter storms that knocked out power to over 4 million homes and businesses. It caused extreme damage to the Texan infrastructure. The impact is still ongoing at the time of this recording. As many as 4 million people were without power and some for more than 3 days. Unfortunately, the impact of this has felt disproportionately. For example, we've seen larger detrimental damages to zip codes with typically people who are lower income or minority compared to, you know, higher end zip codes for that. And unfortunately, that's how a lot of disasters actually occur. You know, additionally, water service has been massively disrupted with more than 12 million people losing water. And unfortunately, we don't know what we're going to do because a lot of pipes have froze and then resulting bursting that's contaminated the water system. You know, but think about if you're a business in Texas at the moment trying to figure this stuff out. I mean, there are things that you just can't necessarily plan for. And, you know, this is a freak winter storm, but increasingly we're kind of seeing these anomaly weather events occurring. And I think this is unfortunately something that we're going to see going forward. You know, we just kind of need to plan for in our business. Now, one of the interesting things about Texas is that in the United States, we have two main power grids. We have the East Coast and we have the West Coast. Texas is 100% on its own. Texas has its own power grid for a majority of the state that does not interconnect with the East or the West Coast. Okay. Well, knowing that as a business owner, maybe, for example, I have a power generator in our employee parking lot. You know, in the event of a massive power outage, I can flip on that generator and we can have power to our building. You know, why is that something that we should consider? Well, if Texas is independent as it is, well, that means if there's an issue like there was, nobody's going to be able to help, you know, in the sense of like, we can't borrow power from Nevada. We can't borrow power from Louisiana. It's got to be made internally. Well, having that generator is a great way of being able to mitigate that risks internally to our business, and we can remain online. So we need to kind of think about these. And I realize thinking about the power grid isn't necessarily something that would be in the first thought of some people, but we need to consider this as a particular risk to our company. Power, water, internet access, these are really necessary tools and necessary services for most businesses today. All right, let's go ahead and have our next review question. What is the recommended distance when practicing social distancing in an office environment? Is it 1 to 2 feet? Is it 6 feet? Is it 10 feet? Is it 20 feet? Well, I'm sure some of us would like 20 feet, but the recommended distance at the moment is 6 feet. So hopefully we're maintaining at least that distance, if not more. And if we're not feeling well, if we're feeling sick, hopefully we're staying home and either enjoying a nice day of bed rest or working from the comfort of our living room. Now, in 2021 and going forward, unfortunately, I think we do need to think about a number of man-made disasters as well as terrorism attacks that can occur. It's unfortunate, but this is just the reality that we live in today, and it's something that we absolutely should think about. Things like chemical attacks, biological attacks, major accidents, economic attacks, and certainly workplace violence. There are plenty of examples of organizations that unfortunately have lost people due to workplace violence or some sort of attack on the business. I'm reminded, for example, of the 2015 San Bernardino terror attack, where an employee of a county facility, actually not too far from where we live, walked in and unfortunately murdered a number of his colleagues and staff and just gunned them down. I'm reminded of the attack in Paris where some gunmen walked in and killed, well, almost 100 people in a concert venue. You know, I'm reminded of that. I'm reminded of, for example, the extremists that killed a number of journalists at the Charlie Hebdo publication in Paris. You know, these are things that we need to consider. And if you've been in any college or university recently, you've seen that they've got shelter in place posters in a lot of the building now, because this is something that we have to deal with as a culture. So you should think about what that can occur. A recent example of this that I can think of is the 2021 storming of the U.S. Capitol. Again, I'm not trying to get political about this, but put yourself in the shoes of a staffer, of a security guard, even a groundskeeper that happened to work at the U.S. Capitol. Okay, so think about those people. That's their office. That's their workplace. On January 6th, the Capitol was stormed and breached. Five people died. 140 people were injured. Essentially, a bunch of rioters broke into the Capitol, broke windows, broke doors. They were able to infiltrate the Senate and House of Representative chambers. The whole facility had to be locked down and evacuated. They ransacked different offices as well as stealing different things throughout the building itself. They found pipe bombs at the offices of the DNC and the RNC. They found Molotov cocktails and vehicles. Again, not being political about the motivation here, but think about the people that's where they work. I mean, you have to think about that now in terms of providing a safe workplace for your staff. And if you're in anything as public as, you know, politics or a large corporation, unfortunately, it is not unrealistic to think that somebody could walk in and mean your staff harm. And so having things like, you know, in any federal building now that you go into, they've got secured entrances and exits, both for vehicles and people. I mean, that's there for the safety of the staff, because that can absolutely happen depending on the nature of the organization that you're in. Okay. So this is just something to kind of consider as you're planning throughout this and planning for your own disaster for the organization. Okay. We have staff issues. We have failures. Okay. People make mistakes. They accidentally delete things. Data can become corrupted. On the more malicious side of this, we can have misappropriation. We can have fraud. Kind of on the poor planning, we can have constant turnover. We could have a key personnel leave and go to a competitor. We could have unionization of the staff inside of our organization. Okay. All these things can occur. You know, if we put the right techniques and procedures in place, a mistake can't sink the business. If we were, for example, to put the right document retention in place, something like somebody accidentally deleting a critical record won't sink the business. If we have good backup procedures in place, having a hard drive that physically wore out, because all hard drives at some point will fail. Well, if we've got a good backup in place, that corruption won't cause an issue. If we create good positive culture inside of our organization, we can reduce our risk of misappropriation and fraud. I don't think we can ever eliminate that. I think there are some inherent bad actors, but we can help reduce the risk to the organization. Additionally, creating that good culture would hopefully help you retain staff so that they don't just leave and go find another business, or having them leave to go to a competitor. Okay. If we create a good culture, we create a good environment, hopefully those things will not occur. But if they do occur, we should at least think about what they might be and how we can respond from it. In any business, we have to work with other companies, okay? Typically in a vendor relationship where we are buying from them. And increasingly, we're becoming tied to the businesses that we do business with. You know, if you're using companies that are hosting your data, what kind of retention policies do they have? What kind of security policies do they have inside of their organization? You know, what happens if they have a data breach? What happens if they go out of business? What happens if they're sold and they're sold to your biggest competitor and they decide to stop doing business with you? What if they have some sort of change in management where they're no longer a good vendor to work with? They're slow to fulfill, slow to respond, slow to take care of the needs of your organization. You know, what if they have some sort of interruption of their supply chain? You know, think of, for example, if, you know, you're dealing with import-export and there are ships sitting out in the harbor because of a union strike that cannot get offloaded to have your products that need to be sold at market. Well, you know, if it's something like a seasonal good, think of, for example, the retailers who sell things around Christmas and Thanksgiving. You know, those products have little to no use and value in January. I mean, if they're not sold in November and December, they might not be sold at all. Well, what could that interruption to the supply chain mean to your business? We can have infrastructure failures, gas and oil shortages. We can have internet outages, transportation failures, electrical issues. Government services could be interrupted, water supply issues. We increasingly are relying upon the utilities of our services, of our cities, counties, and other municipalities, ensuring, and we just take for granted, for example, the internet will just work or the power will just be on. I mean, think about the people in Texas right now that don't have a reliable supply of water or a reliable electrical grid. I mean, if you're in a manufacturing circumstance and you need power and you need water to be able to transform raw materials into finished goods, well, you might have all the staff ready. You might have the raw materials sitting in your yard, but if you don't have the power and utilities to be able to transform them, unfortunately, it's going to cause an interruption to your business. We're increasingly relying more and more on technology for our organizations. Data breaches, hard drive failures, software bugs, ransomware, zero-day exploits in technology that we own, identity theft. These are all realistic things that we need to think about. And we're going to, in our next edition of this course, specifically kind of focus on technology, because increasingly it is our saving grace as well as one of our biggest Achilles heels of this. And so understanding how we can mitigate our technology failure can help put a lot of the other things in line. And we're going to talk about data breaches and hard drive failures and identity theft all within the next couple of episodes of this course. So that's something hopefully we can have a big impact on in reducing our risk and exposure. Now, in our last section for the day, and really kind of what I want to end with is just some general security recommendation. Let's just kind of finish out with respect to some general things that we should consider inside of our business to help promote better overall security for our company. Now, why do we do this? Again, security is a big impact at a foundational level of internal controls, and it's a foundational level of any disaster recovery and business continuity plan. So putting some of these things in place are going to be very helpful in some of the more advanced topics that we're going to talk about later on. Now, the first thing I want to draw your mind to with respect to security is I want you to get away from the thought that it's a binary thing, that you are either secure or not secure. The reality is you can be strong in some areas and soft in others. Security is a never-ending process, and really it's about staying ahead of whatever those threat actors are. You could be really secure, for example, in utilizing good passwords, but if you're not using something like two-factor authentication, well, as strong as that one thing is, you're never going to be as strong as you could be unless you take into account other factors like two-factor authentication in the context of security for a computer system in place. And that's going to exponentially improve the overall security. You could have, for example, really good protection on your computer systems and equipment. You know, maybe you're using a company like Amazon Web Services or Azure to host your data, you know, but if you don't require your staff to, for example, you know, work in a secured environment through like a VPN or something like that, where they have to authenticate to be able to get in, it doesn't matter the fact that you're using, you know, a service like AWS. If you don't have good locks and a security system inside of your home and office, I mean, you're never going to be able to be that secure. Okay. So I want you to think of security as kind of being an onion. There is layers to this. And you want to ensure that that core foundational is there. And then as you start to look at the other layers of this, that you're as secure as you possibly can be, but it's not a binary thing. It's not one or the other. And it requires vigilance. It requires renewal. There is no magic wand to this. And you could be secure in some ways, but insecure in others. Okay. So my three best recommendations with respect to security. First and foremost, education. Educate yourself, educate your team. Just having a conversation about business continuity and disaster recovery is fantastic because it gives you awareness. It gives you a perspective that otherwise you would not have, okay? And so educating your team about what good security is, how to recover from a disaster, understanding the objectives of the organization and how to maintain business continuity is going to be fantastic. You know, after all, it's your data, it's your livelihood. Having people work together is the best overall thing you can do. I will take a well-trained workforce over the most sophisticated technology system any day of the week because people will always find a way around it. Doesn't matter what I do as a developer or the systems I build and maintain, people will always find a way to break it. But if we educate them on what to do and how to do it, well, guess what? We're going to be better off. And the security is a great, and the technology and the security that goes onto it is a great icing on the cake. But we need to ensure that our staff is educated and competent in the areas that we work in. My second recommendation, know what data is on your devices, get rid of what you don't need. A lot of people, for example, have become digital pack rats. They've got files going back 20 years. And let's look at a tax return, for example. A tax return prepared in 2006 is just as useful for identity theft as a tax return prepared in 2021. So make good decisions about what you keep and what you don't. You know, if it's client data, for example, get rid of it. You know, if you don't need it, if there's not a compelling reason to keep it because of either internal needs of the company or regulatory or insurance, get rid of the stuff that you don't need. And do not keep sensitive data that can easily be lost or misappropriated on devices that can easily walk away, like a cell phone or a tablet. Keep an inventory of what you got and get rid of what you don't need. Keep track of who has access to your company and to your infrastructure. It's important that you give people enough access to be able to do their job, but not excessive amounts. You know, a lot of organizations where they will fail is that they just make too many people administrators and the procedures inside of that are a little too lax. Okay. Know who is in your business, know what their job role is, design the procedures around the job description, not about the person itself. And when they leave the company, ensure that that access is revoked. And ensuring that only the people who need access to the data that they're working with and the infrastructure that they're working with on a right way helps reduce the scope of the things that you need to be concerned with and worry about inside of your business. So those are my three recommendations for you. Train your staff, keep an inventory of what data you have available, ensure it's properly backed up and secured. Keep track of the people who have access to your data and infrastructure and ensure only the right level of access for the job that they are actually doing. All right, let's go ahead and have our final review question for the day. Okay, the response time frame for a business continuity plan is focused on what period of time? Is it for the next 7 days? For the next 30 days, for the next year, or none of the above? Okay, and as a reminder, disaster recovery really kind of focuses on the first 3 days or so. Business continuity is talking about beyond that first 3 days, really kind of looking at a year or so in time. So when we design our business continuity plan, we want to make it inclusive of that time period of the initial disaster, but really we're big picture here. We're thinking about the next year and beyond. All right. So what did we talk about? What did we learn about today? Well, we talked about some of the major aspects of business recovery, business continuity. We identified some of the major disasters to help you give the big picture of the different things that you should be considering and thinking about. And hopefully you've identified maybe a half a dozen or so different risks to your company that you should consider. Okay. Now, in future versions of this course, we're going to go ahead and take a detailed look at many of these different types of disasters and the specific ways that we can mitigate those risks. We're going to take a look at data breaches and identity theft. We're going to take a detailed look about the real costs associated with data loss to a company and what that means. We're going to also take a deep dive in the actual business continuity planning, talking about the different plan techniques and documents that you can put together and the way that you should facilitate that process inside your company. And I'm also going to provide you a number of resources that can help you put together your own plan. Now, if you liked today's podcast, and I hope you did, please consider following us on social media. Our social media links are at CPE Today on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook at cpetoday.com. You're welcome to connect with us on LinkedIn. Wherever you happen to be consuming this course, I'd love for you to like and subscribe our videos, as well as maybe considering giving us a review or writing a comment on our video. And if you have any questions or about today's classes, please leave us a comment below. I'd love to address them in a future course. As a final reminder for our financial professionals that are with us here today, you can earn a CPE credit for listening to today's podcast. All you need to do is go to cpetoday.com, use course code DRB1, take a short 5-question exam, and you will earn a certificate that you can use to maintain your license going forward. Again, that is cpetoday.com. Use course code DRB1. Now, this is just the first of several podcasts that we're going to be doing on business continuity and disaster recovery. So please stay tuned for future courses that we're going to go ahead and put out with this. But we offer several different webinars and podcasts and lots of different great content coming up on CPE Today, some additional courses that we're going to be offering here. We're going to go back to QuickBooks Online and other small business accounting tools. And in our next edition of QBO, we're going to dive into the QuickBooks Online Accountant Program, the QBOA program, and talk about all the really cool stuff that comes from using that tool in your business. We're also going to take a look at some more advanced Excel topics, including user-defined functions and Excel tables and data modeling, both incredibly useful tools for that power user that needs better control over their data. And we're also going to introduce a new course, Everything Google, the most effective tools, apps, and services. I am a huge proponent of utilizing these different tools and services inside your business. I love free stuff. I love the Google tools because a lot of it is free and a lot of it can really add some tremendous value. So if you're interested in utilizing these tools a little bit more effectively, please go ahead and check that out. It's been an absolute pleasure being with you here today. Thank you so much for your time and attention. Hope to see you on another podcast soon. Best wishes. Good luck.